Hi guys, am I there?
Yes, you are there. Again, this I'm blaming it on Skype, not me.
Well, like we said, it's not a good piece of software, and they need to fire the entire staff and replace it with experts.
Yeah, they definitely don't have
People
experts
with a
working there.
or people with common sense. You user interface UX type people, you
Exactly,
know?
exactly. But you've just come off the back of Tim's show anyway. I watched about the first half of it before we had to prepare for this. It's cool that you guys have got Vic and everything involved now. Like back in the day, that used to pretty much just be Tim. So much fun that.
Yeah, it was just Tim, and then he invited me to come on. I have plenty of experience as like a sort of sidekick with a laptop. I've done a podcast with Neil Brennan and Moshe Kasher. That's what was my role on that podcast, and then that ended. But it's fun just hanging out with Tim. So being able to be on his show seems like a natural choice
Yeah, man,
for both of
absolutely.
us.
One of the things I've always wondered actually is how far back does the Poundcast go? Because, like, in my own research of the Poundcast, it seems to stretch back to like 2001, like some of the really like video podcasts you were doing and stuff.
Oh my God. Yeah, when you said that, I was thinking about the podcast. Yeah, I shouldn't have named my podcast the same name as I had a web series maybe 10 years ago. I called that the Poundcast. And before that, I just made a few little web blogs. And those don't go back to 2001, but they go back pretty far, back to the MySpace age of like 2006 or something like that, maybe 2005 even.
So
Well, that's my fault for naming everything the same with same title, different stuff.
I don't know, man. I
You've
think
got
it
to keep
makes
your
it
brain.
kind of easier. All you have to search is Poundcast. You've got basically your whole catalog right there.
Yeah, but no consistency.
I don't know, man. There's the Doug Pound feeling for sure. You must know that by now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the brand.
Yeah, the Doug Pound brand, man.
So, what's going on in what's it called? Sad Town, Grimstown.
Yeah, Grimsby, the place where all happiness stems from.
Well, my hometown is called Downers Grove,
Really? That's
so
almost worse.
we're cut from the same cloth.
You have twin cities, don't you? We could be twinned.
Yeah, Downers Grove, sister city, they call it here, would be Grimsby, maybe.
Yeah, we should definitely figure that out. Get some diplomatic relations going between all of the miserable towns around the world.
Where only smiles are used as currency.
So are you, is that you're in the Northeast? Are you on the coast? Do you have a beautiful beach?
Well, we don't have a beautiful beach. We've got a beach full of plastic and dog shit.
Oh, you got to go clean that up.
Well, I don't feel like it's my responsibility.
It's the careless dog owners.
Well, the dog shit. Yeah, I wouldn't bother with that. You just kind of let that just go away naturally. But is it a, do people dump their trash at the beach?
They actually do, unfortunately. We don't have the best reputation in England, man.
Oh, that's too bad. You gotta start setting an example.
Like, what's the American equivalent? Like, don't you all bag on New Jersey?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't even think I've ever been to New Jersey. I kind of have been there, like right over the river from New York, but I don't know what the deal is with New Jersey. Apparently, it's the Garden State, so maybe that's a misnomer as well, you know?
They're
Right.
into horticulture.
All I've ever heard is that it's
Yeah.
like one of the grimmest places in the world. But that's probably because I've watched too much Sopranos.
Yeah. I think there's much more grim places than New Jersey. New Jersey is probably just, it gets more attention, but there's probably some places like Cleveland, Ohio that might not be as cheery.
Right.
My friend Gary went on a Route 66 tour of America, and he chose to visit the town of Gary, and he said he had his eyes opened. He got off the train and there was blood splattered everywhere and people threatening him. He said he'd never felt more alienated.
Yeah, Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
That's where Michael Jackson's from.
Really?
Can
you confirm this blood splatter thing? Because I've always found that hard to believe.
Is it rough? Is Gary rough?
I've never been there, but I grew up near there, and we would just sort of drive past it on the freeway. So it's not a place. It's not a destination.
Right.
I see.
I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything there to check out. Maybe Michael Jackson's birth home or something.
Well, I guess to like kind of bring us on to what this show's all about. Like, I obviously never asked you this when we last interviewed because it wasn't really the call of the day. But like, do you have much history of playing games? Are you a gamer at all, Doug? I don't know that about you.
I'm not much of a video game gamer. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
I'm into more like board games these days.
You know, that's an answer we get a lot. And funnily enough, we probably play more board games ourselves than we do actual video games these days.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't like most video games. I'm probably wrong, but or maybe I'm right. But it seems like at least the popular ones, you're walking around with this POV thing and you're shooting someone and hiding, and it's very stressful. And every time I try to play one of those games, I just get destroyed immediately, and it's not fun. I don't like the whole view of it, the point of view, the looking through a scope and shooting stuff in the distance. That doesn't not appeal to me.
Well, we've had a question through in the chat from Shady Lane asking specifically, what board games do you like? What you've been playing recently?
I have played recently this game called Chameleon, which it's very simple. It's a quick game. You play with about six people, and everyone draws a card, and you don't show the other players what card you have, but one person is the chameleon, and they need to blend in with everyone else because everyone else looks on their card, it'll show like a code that corresponds with. There's a sheet of paper on the board that has about like 20 or 30 words, all in the same like categories. For example, movies, it'll be a bunch of movies. Everyone has to go around and give one word that tells everyone that you know what movie is the secret word. And the chameleon has to try to blend in and give one word because they don't know what the secret word is, but they can maybe get a vibe of what the word is based on everyone else. You don't want to give it away either. If the movie is Titanic, you don't want to say like iceberg. You want to say something very much more, a little bit more abstract, because then the chameleon will blend in. So the idea of the game is to figure out who the chameleon is. So basically, it's a game of lying. If you're the chameleon, you just kind of like lie and act like, and then everyone takes a vote. Who do you think the chameleon is? So that's kind of a fun game.
Yeah, that sounds cool. But like, I'm guessing that's not something you like buy, is it? Or is that just like something you do amongst friends?
You buy it because it's kind of a complicated system of like how the code words work, and there's a big stack of, you know, you pull a code, there's a big stack of like categories,
right?
Unless you want to write your own, you there is an option to write your own, but there's another game I like called Telestrations. Do you know the game Telephone, where you like you whisper a word in someone's ear and then they whisper it to the next person, then it goes around the room, and then by the time it comes back, it's like a different
thing. We racistly call it Chinese whispers here.
Yeah, it's kind of like a childhood game, but this is like with drawing. So you draw, everyone gets a word or whatever, and you draw it, and then the next person has to write on the next card what they think the drawing is, and then the next person has to draw the word that the second person thought the first drawing was, and so on and so forth, and it goes around. I like games like that where you can kind of interact and be more creative with stuff. Like certain games where you're like strategy kind of ones where you're sitting there thinking too hard kind of bore me. I like to do like creative kind of goofy games.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like
party games.
Make your friends laugh. I like to make my friends laugh. So I like, you know, games Those types of games are fun. And there's a game called Wink. Have you ever heard of that game?
Is that where you have to make eye contact? Is it an old school game?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a series of... Everyone has a handful of cards with numbers on them. And then there's the same cards are on the board. So you want to be able to... What you want to do is, like, you pick a number on the board. And someone else will have that number. And you try to collect that number. But basically, you have to say, I'm looking for number 12. And if somebody has 12, they have to very subtly tell you, they have to wink at you when no one's looking to let you know that they have that card.
Everyone's on edge and catching each other's eyes.
We're winking at each other. So it's a fun, stressful kind of game.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Like, you know, party kind of games where you're interacting with people, not shooting a bad guy.
Yeah, the strategy can kind of do my head in sometimes because I just can't be bothered to think that far ahead.
What do you guys like to play?
Well, we do have some strategy-based things, but we have, like...
We still keep it lighthearted.
Yeah, like, do you want to maybe outline Hive?
Oh, Hive, yeah. Really interesting game. I'd say about a 20-minute game, depending on how it goes. But the aim of the game is you've got... they're hexagonal pieces. Six sides. Pieces, and you've got different insects with different abilities. And you have to play-by-play battle the other opponent's insects with these. You've got spiders, ants, grasshoppers, and each have a different effect on the game, how you can move the pieces around. And you basically have to surround your opponent's bee before they surround yours. And it can get quite tactical and also quite tense, and every move means something, you know, and there's that added, you know, bit of sweat that you can put on your opponent.
But it's also really fast-paced in that you're not playing like a two-hour-long massive strategy game. It can be over in 10 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tactically...
Yeah, I think I played that game, actually. I had fun playing that. I like quicker games for sure. I don't like to hunker down and sit there for a few hours and then, like, oh, well, I guess I lost.
Definitely. You know, like... Definitely. It's got,
like, it's not all about winning, but it's, like, you know.
Yeah,
it's, you know what I'm saying.
It's got the technical aspect, but with, like, the speed of, say, Connect Four.
Well, the big creative kind of game over here, I think you must have it in America as well, because it's a sensation over here, was the whole Cards Against Humanity thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's fun, because that's kind of a creative game. I like, you know, creative kind of games, and, like, you can also play. You're playing the player, not as much as the cards too. You kind of, like, pick the card that you think the other player would think is the funniest kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I like that.
And you get to be able to riff and just make your friends absolutely holler.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. We should probably do that more and stop being so miserable.
Well, if you guys come out to LA, we'll have a game night sometime.
It's an excuse to go to LA, and I've never had one before.
We'll bring Hive.
We're not used to happy places with sunshine.
Yeah, we don't see much sunshine at all in Grimsby.
Oh, that's too bad.
But no, we'll get out there to LA one day. One day when we've got them.
Okay.
It's like a far-off goal for us, isn't it? We've got to collect all the money together and...
We have to start this pilgrimage.
Probably hijack a plane.
Well, I want to get up to Grimsby.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, we'll teach you how to be gloomy, man.
I'm into it. my brother-in-law's from England somewhere.
From England somewhere. He's no specifics.
Somewhere in England. I think it's more of like the west side of the country. I could look it up, but
yeah,
you know,
the side but, where they get.
Do you
all
guys
the
have a football weather. Team? You guys have a football team?
Yeah, Grimsby Town. We're one of the worst, aren't we, Dale? You know more about football than me.
We're in the third to lowest recognised league, really. Yeah, we're not great. But interestingly, we are the only team who plays our home games away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the ground is built in Cleethorpes.
Did you guys see that? There's a show on Netflix called Losers.
I've seen
it. And there's one episode about a football team from Torquay. Do you know about
Torquay,
that?
Yeah.
Torquay. And they're like a police dog bit one of the players, and that kind of like made him sort of win the... They were like losers, and they had to win one game, and other they're going to get kicked out of the league or something.
So you're saying the secret to success is getting bitten by a dog?
That's one way to do it.
I'm going to give that a try now. My dog always wants to have a go.
Well, my dog doesn't bite at all, so that's why I'm not very successful.
Is your dog still the same dog we see in all the Poundhouse videos and in Vines and things like that?
Same dog, yeah.
Good. I actually don't know its name after all this time.
The dog is Bug.
I thought so, but I wasn't quite sure.
It's spelled like Doug, so it's like B-O-U-G.
Right. I've been meaning to ask you about the three-year-olds anyway before we run out of time, because I really, really loved that, the body bike track you put up.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. That's a new musical project. We have several tracks coming out, and we will be putting them out probably piece by piece because, when you collaborate musically and you have other gigs going on, to put together a whole EP or like album worth of stuff, we were going for that, but then we decided, we'll just like drop one song here and there. That seems to be the way to do it now with like the Spotify era and everything.
Unfortunately, people don't care about albums anymore. That is true.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I would care about albums, but every time I do listen to a new album, most of the songs are shit.
Yeah.
Like, do artists just don't care? Because there's usually like one banger that I love, and the rest of them are like, I just skip past them. They don't make them like they used to, I guess.
Yeah, but I have the exact same attitude, but I've been wondering lately if that's just an age thing. Like, if as I've gotten older, I've just gotten less patient and I'm not willing to like sit with an album as much as I was when I was a teenager.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's part of it. I think that's definitely part of it. You know, maybe it's on us. Maybe it's our fault. But I also feel like I give an album a chance if there's an artist I like.
Yeah.
I don't want to name any names, but like I listen to it, a new release from someone I like, and it's a couple songs I really like that I keep coming back to. And then there's other ones that, I don't know, they're just boring or something. And I don't know what to tell you.
And you don't want to put out an album like that. You'd rather get it out in little bits.
I would love to put out an album like that, but actually I have two tapes that aren't really released. They're out, but I haven't really put them up for sale yet. But I put a lot of effort into them, and every track is a banger.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think I have one of those tapes, if it was one of the ones you put through Gnar Tapes.
Oh, that one, yeah, that's a bunch of old, weird, experimental kind of stuff. But no, I have two new ones that aren't really out yet, you know?
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to keep my eye on that in case anything comes out.
Yeah. Hit me up on email. I'll send you all the files, and then, you could see if you like any. You know, maybe in my mind, I think it's they're all great, but, my tapes might suck too, and there's just a couple good ones. I'll send you all my new tracks, and you can play them on your radio show.
Oh, yeah, man. I'd absolutely love that.
Cool.
Because we got Ice Cold Homies on my tape, didn't we?
Oh, man, that's really old.
Yeah. And I picked that one specifically because I wanted some exclusivity. It's like you can't find that track anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, thanks for Ice Cold Homies, Doug, 2 years on.
No worries.
But,
Just remind Remind me, and I'll send you some updated stuff.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'm going to be all over that. And I might even write about it, actually. I haven't been writing in ages.
Cool.
So, like, before we finish up here, like, I couldn't agree with you more about modern games actually being difficult, as in just, like, kind of dull experience. But, like, was there anything kind of in the old school, like, maybe when you was growing up, older kind of games? I'm just trying to find out if there's anything that you might have, like, really loved I could play something from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Super Mario Brothers and the classic NES.
Yeah, yeah.
That just... I was just like obsessed with it. I couldn't stop playing it until I beat it. And then when PlayStation came out, there was I can't think of it. There were some pretty cool, weird games where you're kind of flying through space. Maybe there's one called, there was like racing, kind of space racing games. One of them was maybe called Nitro or something.
Sounds like Wipeout.
And maybe Wipeout. That's it. I like that. I also like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater games. Those are more of like, just playing against yourself, you know, you're trying to stay balanced and not fall, and it was like a skill game.
Hitting them combos.
Those are fun. I like that kind of stuff.
To the sound of Del the Funky Homo Sapien and Primus.
Oh yeah, turn it up.
Yeah,
best
man.
Soundtrack ever.
Absolutely. So actually, we'll probably play some Del after this, just to tie into that Tony Hawk's thing.
He's one of the funkiest Homo Sapiens out there.
I'd hope so if he's advertising that fact.
Yeah. It better not be a misnomer.
Because I would actually take him to court for misrepresentation. Well, Doug, it's been awesome talking. I'm sorry we took so long getting there with the old technical issues and everything like that.
No worries at all, mate.
Slipped in a little mate there. What's the American equivalent? Pal? Thanks,
bro.
Pal. Oh, bro.
Cheers, bro.
Oh, bro, yeah.
Bro, that's better.
Peace.
Yeah. Peace.
Yeah.
Well, in that case then, peace out, Doug, and I'll be in touch very soon with the about the tunes, because I definitely want those.
No worries. Take care, guys.
Cheers, Doug.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers. All right, bye.